One of the questions I am asked most here is, what do you do when we're not having camp? The easiest answer I just give is, we just spend our time getting ready for the next camp. But like, no, what do you actually do? Well, the fun answer was, you know, getting ready for the next year. The not as fun, but still fun answer is, I chase squirrels and shoot them out of trees. That would be the other fun answer. Now, before you think that's an evil thing, they dig holes around things. You ever been to the Grand Canyon? You see them reach around begging? We don't want that, so I'm just protecting you. Some of the other things I do around here include just grounds work, different maintenance things. I'll clean all the cabins when nobody else is here, all sad and alone, wiping down beds and sinks. I just do my best to help upkeep, help Brother Troy, you know, deliver him rubber chickens. That's happened before. I do a bunch of different things, but one of the other things I also do is I upkeep our vehicles. Now, it may come as a surprise to you, but every now and then, our red truck might have some issues. And it has this one really specific issue where a part called the shift tube breaks. And what that is, without being too technical, when you go to shift a vehicle, this thing tells it, hey, go into neutral, go into reverse. So it's kind of behind the steering wheel, and so it twists and turns. But for some reason, it's solid metal, it just snaps. And it does that definitely more often than it should. It's been mentioned that it should happen once every 5 years. We sometimes have it two or three times every year. Mechanics have looked at it. They don't really have a good solution for us, but luckily, it's something I am able to fix with the help of a great 12-minute YouTube video. Isn't YouTube great? But so for fixing that, I have to take some bolts off, and then the steering wheel like sits down in my lap, and then I have to reach back and undo like I think 5 or 6 little screws that have the shape of a star on the top. Now, unfortunately, we don't really have the right tool for that, or at least we didn't at that time. So I have like a little bit that I somehow fit another thing on top of that just fits, and then another thing on top of that, and I reach and I just get it done. Now, I think I actually have the right tool now, but as of that time, I did not have the most useful tool. Today, I want to talk to you about the difference between being useful and being hard to use. All right, we'll go ahead and open with prayer and move on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for just the lessons we have in it. I ask that you would help me as I not only give the lesson for those here, but also myself. Help us be able to get something from it and have a great time. In your name I pray, amen. All right, in Judges 13, we'll read verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. Now, I'm sure as many of us know, at this point, the Israelites were going through the whole cycle of doing wrong, getting punished for it, basically saying sorry. Then they ask God for help, God saves them, and they're in a peaceful state. So we're right now in another time of them having done wrong, and they are in the middle of being punished. And this is essentially the problem that we have in our story today. In verse 1, we read that they have been there for 40 years. Now, that's a decent bit of time. There are going to be some people in their 30s that have never seen Israel or never been in an independent rule. And finally, some people are going to be asking for help from the Lord. And the Lord saw fit to start delivering them at this point. So this would be God's mission, God's purpose, and for this, he needs essentially a useful tool to be able to get him through this. And we know in the story that God chooses Samson. Now, I want to go over some things about how God chose him, and we'll start with his birth. His birth was something that God chose. If you'll go with me to verse 2, and there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now God chose Samson. Now it's very obvious that the only reason any of us are here is because God allowed us to be conceived, to be born here. But I think this is really special. This isn't just what we can consider a normal circumstance for a birth and whatnot. We're talking about somebody who could not have children, but God was able to come through and specifically have Samson born. And if you really look at the big picture, you'll realize that, why was Samson born? He was born for this specific purpose. I like to think of this, if you go back to the truck thing, I didn't do this, I bought the tool, but think of it as if I made a mold of that specific tool, and I went and I forged through all the many rocks on West Branch. I found all the metal I needed. I melted that down, and I took the time to pour that myself. Now, I could have just gotten that tool from somewhere else. I could have just kept using what wasn't useful. But I went out of my way to make something that would work for that situation. That's essentially what the Lord has done here. He literally had Samson born for the purpose of freeing his people. And let's actually just move right on to the next thing, which would be the rules. The rules set up the specific job. If we'll go ahead in verse 4. Now, therefore, beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, he had specific rules. If you go back to the truck part, if I made the part, it kind of makes sense. I would have the right to say what happens to the part, just like how parents are with their kids. If you have a kid, you have the right to tell them what to do. You also have the right to tell other people what not to do with them. With Elijah, we have specific rules for him. Hi, buddy. He finally looked up when I said his name. With him, we have specific rules for him for different things. Bedtime's at a certain time, and he knows that. And if anybody were to watch him, we would say, hey, his bedtime's at a certain time. Because we have put the effort into raising him, because he is ours, we have the right to be able to give him those rules, just like I would for that part I made. And that goes definitely for Samson here. Like I already said, the reason we're all here is because God wanted us, but this is someone that was specifically picked by God for this purpose. So you could say the Lord is going through a lot of effort to make sure Samson can fulfill his purpose. So he has his rules. And what are these rules? They are three, what can sound like simple things. You know, drink not wine or strong drink. Eat not any unclean thing. No razor shall come upon his head. Those may seem just fairly simple, but when it comes to specifically the wine and strong drink, you have to realize that Israel has not been their own country for 40 years. They've been in a pagan society. So you're talking anybody who is 40 and under will have grown up in a non-Israeli world, essentially, which might really equal a non-Christian world. So it may have been very socially normal to drink alcohol. It may have been normal. We have no idea something like that. We know that the Lord saw fit to start delivering them, so that leads us to believe that some were repentant, but that doesn't mean all of them were, and that certainly doesn't mean that the area they lived in suddenly started to do right in all ways. So it could have been very normal. For you and me, we might think, if the Lord says, hey, you know, be a good Christian person, you might think, don't drink alcohol. That's an easy one. That's normal. That may have not been so easy in this day and time, as well as not touching any unclean thing. That would kind of be along the same lines. It would have been a very, very specific rule. Next, I want to talk to you about his role in all of this. The end of verse 5, it says, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That was his role. His role was to help deliver people. Now, this cycle we talked about has been going on for a good bit of time. And I like to think that it is very, very special. And I think it's actually rather honorable that Samson was given the opportunity to be, frankly, a large part in delivering. And I think Samson, you might almost be able to look at him as potentially more special than some of the other judges. I talked about Gideon a few weeks ago. When did God call him? It was out while he was hiding. Think of other people like Ehud. We don't read that he was born of a barren woman brought up for this specific purpose. God had Samson created and just for the explicit purpose of just being a tool for this purpose. And that role being able to free his people. And along with that, God made Samson rather special. Samson is known for one very special thing, and that Samson was strong. Now, when I think of Samson, I don't think of somebody that's my size, very obviously my build, you know, nice, big, lean, all that. I don't really think of that. When I think of Samson, I really like to think of someone who is of average height, and I won't throw out any numbers because I obviously don't know what average height is. I've told some people here that unless you're over 6 foot, you really look all the same height to me. Unless you're like under 5 foot or very obviously short, then I'm like, oh yeah, that person's short. But for a lot of you, you really just look the same height to me. So look, no discrimination there. So I won't throw out any numbers to not offend anyone. So let's just say Samson is just, I picture him as just an average height person, but I really picture him as really thin. Why? Because I like to think that God would not want to use somebody who looks over buff and over muscled to move something as big as gates. Wouldn't it be a lot more fascinating if this scrawny little dude was able to walk over, pick up gates, and walk off with them? Then you'd be able to look at him and think, there's no way he did that. So that's just a fun little thought I have had. I like to think that God likes to use weird things to make his plan happen, and what is stranger than a skinny little guy picking up what probably weighs buildings and walking off with them? This way there's no doubt in your minds who did it. So that doesn't really have much to do with this, but that was just a free thought. Anyway, it was his job to deliver. And obviously that's come in a lot of different ways, but in a lot of the times in the book of Judges has been through the means of warring. And that would be through the means of fighting. And frankly, there's no easier way to fight than having super strength. Especially in this day and age, when there's nothing like firearms, when it's all physical, it makes sense to have something like that. That would be like somebody or the president or whoever is in charge of the military at this point, just walking up saying, hey, I choose you to go fight our next war for us. But worry not. You will be in this nice diamond-crusted, invincible tank with unlimited bullets in it. You can't be hurt inside of it. And look, we'll test it. They drop a nuke on it. Boom, tank's just fine. Like, see, you'll be just fine inside. Doesn't that sound great? You get sent to go to war, but you have the ultimate cheat code on your side. That's kind of what Samson was given. God didn't just give Samson a job and no tools with which to do it. He gave him a job with the right use. If you go back to the truck pouring scenario, that's like, I poured it, and I have it all molded, and it's all perfectly right, and I'm not going to, you know, make it like a weird little flathead and try to do that weird thing where you just stick a flathead into a different thing and just try to wiggle it and just make it work and really just mess everything up. No, I'm going to make it exactly what it needs to be for the job that it needs to do. That's exactly what the Lord did with Samson here. And we talked about his birth, the rules that he had, the role he had, and I want to talk to you about the result it had. If you'll go with me to chapter number 16, chapter number 16 and verse 23. Now, there's a long passage we could read here, but we'll just kind of pick a few verses out. In verse 23, it says, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And if you'll go down with me to verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and all the house fell upon the lords, and all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. That's a lot. It's a great number. In verse 23, we see the lords of the Philistines. A lot of leaders and high-up people were in this building. In the end, Samson, in some way, was able to accomplish the task he was given. But you might be thinking, Samson's not really remembered for the good he did. We don't read back on Samson and think, wow, what a great judge. He saved Israel, and the Lord helped him to lead Israel out of a place. Like you would with someone like Ehud. You know, we all know the funny little saying, you know, lefty stabbed hefty in the belly. There's no funny saying about Samson about that. We only think of Samson as someone who really, really messed up, don't we? But I want you to focus on the result here. The result was what God wanted to be done got done. And if there's nothing else you walk away from this message, I'd love you to remember these four words. God's will be done. God had a purpose for Samson on this earth, and God was going to see to it that it happened. Now, did Samson have to die in order for this purpose to be fulfilled? Maybe not. maybe in some different dimension or timeline, maybe Samson did everything right, still got captured, and still ended up dying in the same spot. But you know what? We would have looked at Samson a lot differently, wouldn't we? Samson had to go through a lot of pain to get to this point. A lot. And he had to cause a lot of heartache to all those around him. Those rules that God had for him, he did not follow those. And you, I'm sure many of you already know the stories about how he messed that up. But God was able to make it work in the end. That would be, once again, my little truck tool. I like my truck tool. So that would be like if I had this truck tool and I said, hey, nobody used this except for this one truck part. And unbeknownst to me, somebody else grabs it and decides to use it to hammer a nail in on their bunk. Now, obviously, that's a horrible idea. I can get you an actual hammer, but don't do this. But that, so now it's all dented and it's bent. But then the truck part breaks. Not that it ever would, but the truck part breaks. And I need to fix it. But I only have this tool. So what do I have to do? I have to take it back. I have to find some hard metal. I have to take a hammer and I have to beat it back flat and bend it so it all works. Now, obviously, we are not work tools, but I can tell you this. It wouldn't feel good to be forcefully bent back to work for something. And you know what? I bet you Samson was thinking this doesn't feel too great when they burned his eyes out of his head. I bet Samson didn't think it was too great when he was treated like an animal or when he was tied up and drug around. I can see a scenario in which none of that had to happen. But because of how he lived, it had to happen. So this way, God's purpose, God's will be done. This way, the mission that God had for the beginning of his life happened anyway. Did God need Samson? No. God chose to use Samson for this purpose, and God got what he wanted out of it. But you know what? I think Samson was rather hard to use. Now, if you'll go with me, we'll actually go to the New Testament. If you'll go with me to the book of Luke, we will talk about somebody who was useful. In the book of Luke, chapter number 1, and verse 5. And here we will start talking about the story of John the Baptist, as we know him. In verse 5, in Luke 1, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And if you will actually jump down with me to verse 13. And while he, after he's in there, he's working on burning incense, an angel appears unto him in verse 13. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, did we just read this verse a little bit ago? I'm pretty sure I just heard a story in which a woman was barren, unable to have kids, and they were told, hey, you're going to have a son. You know, this is another miraculous birth, and this is going to be a lot of the same. And God does have another mission for this man he's going to have born. However, I think this birth is almost even more miraculous, because not only does the Bible say she was barren, the Bible says she was also older. We know other places in the Bible where older women, through the Lord's blessing, have been able to have children, but this is just another thing added on. And I also find it really fascinating that the angel actually said, for thy prayer is heard, meaning that Zacharias and Elizabeth were still praying for children even at an old age. So while many people had given up, they still prayed. So I thought that was really fascinating. And maybe that's just a little thought for you. Just because you think it's too late, don't stop praying for things. God can still make things work in his own way. But just like Samson was born in a very special circumstance, so was John the Baptist. Now, John had a mission and a role. We all know as his job was to go before Jesus to preach about Jesus and tell people about Jesus right before he was born. So that was his birth, and he had a specific set of rules. If we go down to verse 15, The Bible says, "For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Now, you can see that he has one of the same rules Samson had, basically no drinking, strong drink. That's one of the same things. Well, another thing it says here is that he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you gave me the rules that were for Samson, which were, you know, don't touch any unclean thing, no drinking, strong drink, and no razor on your head, I would rather do that than be tasked with the jobs of no drinking, strong drink, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just me as a human. One of those is much easier for me to accomplish. That sounds like a tall order. If your job is be filled with the Holy Spirit, you realize in order to do that, you have to be close with God. And if you're not close with God, you're not going to be filled. It's really, really tough order if your job is, all right, your job, be close and good relationship with God at all times. That sounds impossible. Don't get a haircut? That sounds possible. You know, one of those takes a lot less effort than the other. So John, the circumstances around his birth were more miraculous. The rules he had were, to me, even stricter. And in verse 16 and 17, we will read what his specific roles was. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The part I want to focus on there specifically is to make people ready for the Lord. That sounds terrifying. His job was not only, his rule said he's supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but his job was to make people ready for the Lord. I don't know if that's humanly possible, because John himself was human. But his job was to literally have people ready to meet God. God's perfect. God can have no sin. There's no way he could help people be ready enough to meet the Lord. But that was his job. And that was the job God had for him. If you're wondering about that, think of it this way. If you go out to the rodeo corral, and I would say, okay, the job here is to clean it. And when I say clean it, I mean all dirt specks need to be free of bacteria. And I said, that's your job. That's your job in life, to go de-bacteriaize the rodeo corral. And no, you don't get some big industrial bleach sprayer, because that only gets 99.9%, and you're looking for that 0.01%, okay? I want it all gone. That sounds really impossible, doesn't it? John's job here was to prepare people for the Lord. That sounds a lot like that. If you compare that with Samson's, Samson's job was to go fight a fight. I mean, I know there's a lot more to it than that, but Samson's job was go fight a fight. And to me, once again, Samson's side sounds a bit easier. As well as you have to realize, like I said earlier, Samson was cheating. He had super strength. He was able to perform his job definitely a bit easier in a human way than I think John would have been able to. However, I'd like you to look at the result of John's ministry. If you'll go with me to chapter 7 of Luke, and we'll look at verse 27. Now, before I read this passage, I'll just tell you, when I was going over this message and I read this passage, I think I actually got goosebumps when you stop to think about what is being said here. This is Jesus speaking here in verse 27 of Luke 7. "This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now, I know the ending of the verse is important, but you just realize that the Lord himself said there was not a greater prophet born of woman than John the Baptist. He literally said he was the best. And that's not a human admonition. A lot of people like to think of Paul as a great Christian. I don't think you can find in the Bible anywhere that says Paul was the best Christian. But you know what? Jesus said John the Baptist was the best prophet. You want to know what the result of John's ministry was? It was the Lord actually saying he was the best at what he was supposed to do. And I think that really lends itself to the thought that John was useful. John had a purpose. God made him for that purpose. He gave him certain parameters with which to do that purpose and gave him jobs. And John did it perfectly. He really did. And I think it's really fascinating that the job he was given is a job many of us have been given, to prepare people for the Lord. Not many of us are going to be asked to go out and win physical wars. And you know what? I hope none of us are. But we are all asked to help prepare people for the Lord. And I'm not just meaning through preaching. That could just be in your homes as well. That could be in classes you teach. So that's a job that we already know can be done. But the thing is, that has to be with God's help. Now, we've talked about somebody who was, you know, hard to use, and that's Samson. Talked about someone that's useful, and that was John. And now I want to ask, what does this mean for you? What are you going to be? You know, your birth was special. You know, we're all here. We may not think it was, but did you know that 10 to 20% of all pregnancies lead to a miscarriage? That's about 1 to 2 in every 10 people never get to see the earth. So the fact that you're here means you were chosen to be here. Your birth was special. The fact that you are the way you are, your personality, your physical build, things that you like, things that you dislike, just everything about you was crafted by the Lord. You are no less special than Samson or John the Baptist was, because God loves you as much as he did them. And he put you on earth for a purpose. And then rules. What rules should you live by? This Bible. You know what? We only read of a few rules given to these men. I'm sure there was more within their religions and, you know, just being Jews and whatnot. But we've been given, frankly, really clear instructions on what we should or should not be doing on any given time. And frankly, we also have the added benefit of just being able to ask the Lord at any time when we don't know what to do. And he'll give us an answer. We have certain rules we should be living in. And why can God give us those rules? Because like I said earlier, he put in the effort to get us here. You know, you don't know what he's protected us from. And that's something that I've actually really enjoyed thinking. You have no idea that maybe a storm a few years ago could have knocked over a tree and smashed your house. Maybe you could have gotten on a car wreck on the way here. We just will never know what God's protected us from. And maybe he's protecting you because he's got a purpose for you later on. So the Lord is literally putting in the effort, probably on a daily basis, to keep you around for a purpose. And that's what gives him the right to give us these rules to follow. And then as for your role in life, I don't know. I don't know what God's specific role for you is. I know a general role. General roles would be a good husband, be a good wife, be a good father, be a good mother, be a good Christian man, good Christian woman. I know we all fall under at least some of those. I know my role is to be up here speaking right now. My role is to be a good father and be a good husband, be a good Christian man. My role is to work here at West Branch, a ministry I love, and I'm so happy the Lord's been able to put me here. That's my role. But what's my role in life going to be next year? What's my role in life going to be a few years from now? I don't know. But whatever it is, I know God is saving me for that. I know everything in my life so far is leading me towards that point. And I don't know enough about any of you to be able to tell you what maybe the Lord has for your role in life. Who should I marry? How should we parent our children? What should we be doing in a month from now? How should we pay these bills? Should I take this job? I don't know any of that. You know who does? Maybe try the one who got you this far in the first place. I want you to understand. We read that Samson and John the Baptist, it's really clear to read what their jobs were in life. Samson was to win a war. John the Baptist, as difficult as those may be, was to help point people towards the Lord. You do have a role just like they do. But God knows that, and you'll have to learn that from him. And one thing we don't know is the result of it. Now, this is something that can change daily depending on how we do. But someday, and not in a prideful way, I really hope that one day when I do pass on, my kids are going to be able to look up to me and think, wow, my dad was a godly man. You know, I don't want them to look and think, I really need to do things differently than my dad. I saw how all that worked out. You know, I'm glad I'm a Christian now, but I really wish he was a better one. I don't need that. My kids don't need that. And you know what? Those around you don't need to see that either. I don't know what the result of your life is yet. That's between you and the Lord. But I think if you just go back and read these stories of John the Baptist and Samson, you'll learn the difference between being useful and being hard to use. And when all is said and done, those four words I mentioned earlier, God's will be done, I would rather be on the useful side of God's will than being hard to use. I don't want to be left out of anything. I know the great things God can do. And we've been able to see some of that here this summer. I'm glad I was here to be able to be a part of it. And I don't want to be left out, and I'm sure you don't either. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the lessons in it. And thank you for including the examples of these different men that we can learn from. And I ask that you would help us as we go about our lives. Help us to remember that what you want to be done will happen, that it's just up to us as to whether we get to be a part of it or not by how we live. We ask that you'd help us have a great rest of our day today, and we ask that you'd just help us keep these things in mind, myself included. In your name I pray, amen.
All right, that was a real help, and I'm glad each one of us got to hear that. And what a wonderful thought just to think that God would even want to use us and that he would. And I just love that thought at the end. I want to be on the side of God using me and knowing that I was a part of it. And that's really a great blessing. So thank you, Brother Josh, for that. Let's go over a little bit about the schedule because we want you to have so much fun this afternoon. You have no idea what to do with yourself. That is our plan. And for some of you, that means you got any special chairs for me to sit in. We even have that covered, for a few of you anyway. And so we've got a lot of great things going on. So lunch will begin at least by noon. If they're ready a little bit early for that, then they'll open up a little bit early. But lunch will be served from noon till 12:30, at least by 12:30. We will be closed from lunch. And then a couple things about that. First of all, there will be dessert for lunch, but it's going to be served later on in the afternoon. So around 2 o'clock, there will be dessert that will be served, and so give you something else you can be looking forward to. Also, Mr. Troy, the nice Otter Pop fan, has a bunch of Otter Pops ready to give out this afternoon if people need a little bit of refreshment. So that will be happening at some point in the afternoon as well if you'd like one of those. Lots of different activities.